Well, if you have James 5 in front of you, that'd be great. Let me pray once more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for these one another commands. And we pray as we listen today that this would be an encouragement to us and that we would grow as your people through it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is church shaped. The Christian life is church shaped. So those are my words. Those are the words of an article I saw on the internet recently, published by an organization called the Gospel Coalition. And it's quite a striking title, isn't it? The Christian life is church shaped. It seems, I think, almost subversive. Almost subversive. Why? Why might this point need to be made? Well, I think the problem is, isn't it, that some evangelical believers, some evangelical Christians, some Christians, we tend to individualize the Christian life. Now, it's not that individual action and life are unimportant, because they are hugely important. But we're tempted to think that the Christian life is all about us by ourselves. It's all about what we do in Bible reading and prayer and witness. It's all about the one. And the church is just a sort of added extra. But instead, I think what the Bible is very clear about is that all those things that we do should be seen in the context of us living in community with other Christian people. And to make that abundantly clear, this primarily takes place in the local church. Our individual Christian spiritual disciplines are hugely important, but as is our life amongst God's people, our life with other Christian people. Now, of course, most of the week, we're not with Christian people, are we? We're scattered. We're scattered in the world by ourselves. We're in school when the term starts back. We're in a job. We're in our families. We're in our pastimes that we spend with other people. And how we live in those situations is hugely important as Christians. But we also gather. We scatter and then we gather as the local church. It's because it's in the local church that our identity is formed as Christians. It's where we hear the word of God and receive the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's where we take part in the life of believers. The life of the church is where we're equipped to live for Jesus in the world. So how we live together is hugely important. And I hope you've seen that in this short summer series that we've been doing in the One Another's. And wonderfully, this life that we have together is a wonderful witness. I'm sure you've maybe thought about this yourself before, that the life we have as Christian people, how we relate to one another, how we love one another, is a wonderful witness to the world. When they look at us and they say, look how they love each other. And it's also a witness to other Christians. You ever thought about that? We were on holiday the past couple of weeks, and each Sunday we've been worshipping with a different group of believers. We were in Beverly in Yorkshire one week, and then we're in Manchester the other. And they're very different churches, different sizes, different communities that they were in. But in both, we were welcomed and we were encouraged. We were part of the family very quickly. And it was a joy to gather with those believers. It was a joy to sing praises with them. And that's why reflecting on these one another's is so important, because they help us live the life we're called to live as Christian people, that we might be witnesses to the world by how we love each other. That the world might see and glorify God by how we live our lives with one another. And of course, we need teaching on this. God's word helps us to understand how that plays out in different ways. Because sadly, our own lights often fail us. I wonder if you know the saying, it's a common saying. The thing about common sense is it's not that common. You heard that before? It's a nice little phrase, isn't it? The thing about common sense is that it's not that common. So we shouldn't just rely on our common sense. Oh, it's obvious how we'll all love each other in the local church. Isn't it obvious? No, it's not obvious, because often we fail to do it. So what we need to do is we need to listen to God's word. We need to know what it looks like to love each other. And scripture helps us, particularly through these one another sayings. And this week, we come to the call, James chapter 5, verse 16, to pray for one another. Pray for one another. And firstly, when we look at this one another, I want us to see firstly that this is a clear command. That this is a very clear command. Maybe you've heard the phrase as well. It's as clear as the nose on your face. It's as clear as the nose on your face. But sometimes we don't do that which is obvious, do we? Sometimes we might have discussions with friends, don't we? We sit up late at night, we might chat over a coffee, and we'll think, can't you see it? It's obvious. We're sharing an opinion about something or other, and they'll just not see it, that obvious thing. Sometimes the obvious thing is missed. But friends, let me tell you that it's an obvious and clear command in the Bible to pray for one another. We can't deny it, but sadly, it is often not obeyed. The New Testament very clearly calls Christians to pray for one another. But what are they to pray for? Well, in James chapter 5, healing seems to be very front and center. And I think that is right. Healing seems to be there. So the recovery from illness. But also, I think, is very, very clear, and I saw this in a wonderful commentary by a scholar called Alec Mateer, that in verse 16, which we get our phrase, pray for one another, the focus isn't quite so much on healing, but on reconciliation. On Christian people confessing their sins to one another and finding forgiveness, and that manifesting itself in prayer. So the healing of relationships, that the unity of the church might be maintained. We also see in two other examples, the prayer for evangelism. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and then Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, Paul asks for prayer that he might witness well, that the gospel might go forth, that the gospel might speed ahead. And this prayer for one another and to God in general is to be without ceasing. It's to be constant. It's to continue in it steadfastly. It encompasses verse 13 of James chapter 5, the response to joy and the response to suffering. Do you see that? Chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering, facing the difficulties of life in many different manifest ways? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Well, what is singing praise? Singing praise is praying to God, isn't it? So we are sad, you're happy, and presumably anywhere in between, you pray. The Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray, doesn't he, Matthew 6? And models prayer often in the gospel narratives when he goes apart to pray. So prayer is hugely important in the Bible, and praying for others is hugely important. It's clear. Something we should be doing. We should pray for one another for many different things. But as we see the importance of prayer, it's just worth asking ourselves, why? Why pray? Why prayer? What's the point? Because doesn't it seem, maybe your friends might say this to you, what's the point of prayer? What happens? Does it seem to achieve much, does it? And it's not hard to do. Would you sit down and say some words? Maybe you don't even say some words. Maybe just make them in your mind. You don't say them out loud. Someone might say to you, shouldn't you be doing something more useful? Why are you bothering praying for Ukraine? Why don't you go and do something about it? Be more useful. Do something useful. Well, in fact, friends, prayer is the most useful thing you could ever do. It is the easily most useful thing you can ever do. Why? Well, we are asking the one who has true power to make change. We are asking for him to do something. So I can't solve the problems the world has. I can't solve all your problems. I just wonder if this would be a good thing to head up as a pastor. I can't solve all your problems. We can't solve all the problems that we face individually. But we can ask the one who can to do something about it, can't we? We can ask the God of all things, the God who made the universe, the God who upholds and sustains all things by the word of his power, the God who has saved us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can ask him to do something about it. So to pray is the most useful thing that we can do. I wonder if you ever ask somebody, maybe you are going around to a friend's house for dinner, and you come in the door and you hang up your jacket and you say, is there anything I can do to help? Maybe you're home at Christmas, or you say to whoever's hosting Christmas, anything I can do to help? Do you want me to, you know, peel some sprouts, chop something, wipe a table, put some, whatever it is. You're asking, what can I do that's most helpful to you? We want to help, don't we? We often want to help other people when we go into these situations. Maybe we know somebody who's struggling, who's facing hard times, and we'll phone them and say, is there anything I can do to help? Do you want me to, you know, if somebody's bedridden, can I come around and mow your lawn for you? Can I come and paint your garret? Whatever it might be, practical thing. Well, friends, let me encourage you. The best thing you can always do is pray for somebody. The best thing you can always do for somebody else is pray for them. It's the best thing to do. Now, of course, that doesn't mean to say don't go and mow their lawn for them if they're bedridden. That would be a good thing to do too. It's good to give practical help that we are able to give. It is really good to do that. And there are lots of people in our lives, maybe we ourselves, are very good at doing practical things. Some of us less so, but some of us are very good at doing practical things. We're very able, and it's good to go and help practically for people. But let me encourage you, friends, that the best thing is always to pray for that person, to pray for them in their need, to pray for them in their suffering, to pray for them in their challenges. And doing so, we show, don't we, that as Christian people, we rely on the Lord and not our own strength. We're not solving the problems by our intelligence, by our power, but we're relying on him to save and to act. And prayer is something we can all do. You don't need a PhD in engineering to pray. You don't need to be very tall and very strong to pray. You don't need to have particular skill sets to pray. You might need all those things to do certain help for somebody. Maybe some of us think, I couldn't help anybody practically. I can never cook a casserole. I couldn't go and mow someone's lawn. But you can pray for them. Whatever skills you've been given in life, we've all been given the ability to pray. We're all able to pray to our God. And it's the best thing we can do. Prayer is the best thing we can be doing for Christian brothers and sisters. When they suffer, when they are ill, what do? We call on God to act, to support, to save. For he is the one who can do far more than we can ask or imagine. Isn't that wonderful good news? He can do far more than we can ask or imagine. So as part of a local church, let me encourage you to pray for your brothers and sisters. Make that love concrete. Pray. And do follow through on it. Do follow through on it. I'm sure I've done it before. But don't just say you'll pray. Oh, friends, I'll pray for you. And then forget to pray. Pray for them. Pray for them there and then, maybe. Maybe a good thing to do. If you know there's a problem, just pray for them straight away. Let me pray for you, brother. Let's follow through. Let's actually pray for our brothers and sisters. And let me encourage you that it is a wonderful comfort. It is wonderfully uplifting to know that you are being prayed for. I was at a recent conference with other people in ministry, And it was a wonderful blessing to know that I was being prayed for by them. And it was a wonderful blessing to pray for them, to encourage them in ministry. It was a wonderful encouragement recently. I was emailing my former boss in the church I used to serve in Scotland. And he mentioned to me, was there anything we can be praying for? The congregation regularly uphold you in prayer. And that was a wonderful comfort to know that brothers and sisters somewhere else are praying for us. And there are other situations as well where it's wonderfully encouraging to know that you're being upheld in prayer. So let me encourage you, friends, to pray for one another. Encourage each other that you're praying for them. It's a wonderful comfort when we're struggling, when we're facing hard times, to know I'm being upheld to the throne of grace by my brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that wonderfully comforting? I hope it comforts you when you hear that. So friends, let me encourage you once more. Pray for one another. Let us do what is best. Let us pray for one another. Let us lift up the weary. Let us lift up the heavy laden. Let us find reconciliation with each other in prayer. Let us lift each other up as we seek to witness to others about the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might evidence that we rely on the Lord, not our own strength, and that we might bring him glory as we love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your help. We see in your word the call to pray for one another. But we know, Heavenly Father, that we often fail in that front, that we neglect to do it. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, that we would make it part of our daily lives to pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for particulars, pray in general, that we might uplift our brothers and sisters to you, that we might comfort one another in prayer, that we might find peace with one another in prayer, that we might pray that the gospel would go forth in our area as we seek to witness to Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, when we fail, and give us power by your Spirit, that we might be those who do as we are called to do, to pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.